We want to look this morning in the book of James chapter 5. James chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me. Over the last several services, we've been talking about a challenge from God. Talking about last week in the morning service about new things that God wants to do in our lives. I believe that there are a lot of wonderful things that God has in store for His people as we open our heart to the Lord. Book of James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. This morning we're talking about bold praying. Bold praying. And we're going to ask the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning in this place. And just accomplish something in all of our hearts. James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Praise God. Bold praying. I think that whenever we talk about a prayer, there's a lot of different ideas and a lot of different perspectives on prayer. Yesterday there was a terrible tragedy shooting out in Arizona. A congresswoman was shot and several people died in that tragic incident out there. And different ones were making statements about prayer, that our thoughts and prayers, even the president said, our thoughts and prayers are with these people and these families, these that were injured and their families. Our thoughts and prayers are with them. Brother Huff even made mention a couple of days ago that he's met people and he's had people call him. And instead of saying, we are praying for you, there is some people will say things like, we're thinking about you. We're thinking about you. Especially people who aren't really confident in their Christian experience or the effect of their prayer. They'll just say something real nice like, we've been thinking about you. And it's nice to be in people's thoughts, isn't it? People be thinking about you. But Christian people do more than just think about someone. Christian people understand the great privilege that we have to communicate with God, the Creator, the Almighty One, who's in control and in charge. And we have been not only given the privilege of prayer, but we have been invited to come before the throne of God in prayer as the saints of God. And so we don't just think about people, although that's a nice gesture, just to be thinking about someone. And we don't even, sometimes people they'll call it, we'll say a prayer for you. As if it's just going to be something kind of, we're gonna say some words, but there doesn't seem to be any real object of that prayer. I'm just gonna say a prayer. But Christians don't say prayers, not in that sense. We are to pray prayers. And He is the object of those prayers because He has invited us and given us this wonderful privilege to pray, and to pray with boldness. First of all, prayer is conversation. It's conversation with God. It's being in contact with God and fellowshipping with Him, having a conversation with the Lord. You know, some folks, I don't think they've ever learned the art of real conversation. Because whenever you can tell, whenever you begin to speak to them, that they're not really in tune with what you're saying. Some folks are not even listening. You can tell by their eyes that they've already started thinking about something else, and maybe even thinking about what's on their mind and what is concerning them. And sometimes I think that as Christians, we don't take prayer serious enough. It is a conversation with the Almighty God. And that we have the privilege to go to the Lord. I have a relative, not on my wife's side, but on my side, that she's a sweet lady. She's a sweet person. But whenever you're in a room of people for conversation, it's very enjoyable when it can just kind of banter back and forth and everyone has their contribution to the conversation. But there are oftentimes those individuals like this one person in my family that she is never satisfied for it to be, a conversation in the entire room. She wants it to be one-on-one. And so she won't allow you to be involved with the conversation of the whole. She talks real softly to you to try to pull you into it. Everybody else is talking about something else really interesting. And she will pull you into a conversation about something that you may not be all that interested in, but it has to do with her and her needs. And no doubt she wants people to talk to. And that's her motivation for what she is doing. Conversation with God. Prayer is talking to God. It's never one-sided, or it should never be one-sided. Sometimes our prayers are just that. We'll spend, some of you may come into a prayer meeting service, and the majority of that time is spent, kind of filling in little phrases and words that you're saying, and it's not really necessarily a conversation with God where you're asking the Lord, "Lord, would you talk to me? Would you give me answers? Would you speak to my heart? Would you, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, confirm that you are at work in my life and my needs in this situation?" You know, if you'll take time to meditate and to wait upon the Lord, that God will speak to you. God will talk to you. God will speak to you if you'll take the time to do that. And our prayers are not only just conversation that's to be two-way, but it's also to be powerful and bold. Now, I hope that you won't misunderstand what I'm saying, because all prayer is valuable and important. But sometimes we pray and we don't really think much about what we're saying. We're just kind of filling in. We're just saying little phrases that we've learned to say, and it's without very much thought. We're not thinking that much about what we are saying. I mean, we all do that. Prayers like, "Oh Lord, be with me today. Lord, be with me today." Now, that prayer can be sincere, and we certainly need the Lord, but we need to be reminded of the fact that God is with us. He is with us. He's everywhere present. And that's just a part of His character and who He is. And there's nothing wrong with praying prayers like that. But I do believe that we need to step up to a whole new level in our praying and begin to ask the Lord for greater things, mightier things, to step forward in a bold faith to believe that God can do wonderful things. Now, this text in James chapter 5, it describes the prayers of this prophet Elijah. The Bible says that he was a man subject to like passions. Now, that just means he was exactly like you and me. No difference. Actually, the only difference between you and me and the prophet Elijah was that he was a man of tremendous faith who believed God and he asked God for big things. And other than that, he was just like us. He had the same weaknesses. He had the same needs. He was in the flesh. And we tend to think about great men and women of God of the Bible, the prophets and the apostles and the different, heroes, spiritual heroes in the Bible. We set them in a whole different category and think, well, we could never be like them. They were great and they had a mighty touch. I mean, that was Elijah. All the wonderful miracles that he had in his life. He was just such a powerful man of God. Matter of fact, he was so great that he was translated into heaven. God just took him into heaven. But James says that he was just like you. Just like you and me. Exactly like you. And so we have this tendency It's always been true that man has the tendency to look at others who have great spiritual faith and accomplish a lot for the Lord, and we set them in a category that's, you know, they're out of reach, unattainable. I could never be like that person. And that's the reason why James said what he did. Elijah was a man just like you. He was just like you. And when he prayed, wonderful things happened. Mighty things happened as he asked in faith. In the book of Acts chapter 14, the account of the apostles that are there in Lystra and preaching and teaching the word of the Lord. Verse 9 it says, "And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceived he had faith to be healed. He said with a loud voice, stand upright on your feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices in the speech of the Lycaonia. Their gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands upon the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes, ran in among the people, crying out, saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions." It's the exact same terminology that was used there in James chapter 5. We're just common men. We are of like passions with you. We're just like you. We're not gods to be worshipped. You can't set us up and pray to us or revere us as something greater or more important. You know, we have the tendency to do that, don't we? I mean, some people would rather have this person pray for them than some other Christian pray for them. Because they think, well, if that person, they have a walk with God, or they have had miracles in their life, so I want them to pray. But you know, yeah, even a small child can pray a mighty powerful prayer if it's a prayer of faith. And we're warned against setting up those and saying that they are more important or more valuable than anyone else. It's the will of God that every Christian be a person who knows how to pray bold prayers. Amen. To pray the prayer of faith. And Paul and Barnabas said, don't put us up on a pinnacle. Don't act like that we're someone special. They were so grieved that they would not allow that to happen when all of those were, they were trying to revere them as gods or someone that was special. The wonderful privilege that Christians have, it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what position you're in. Every believer has the privilege to pray and to pray bold prayers. Amen. And so coupled with our efforts in reading the Word of God and fasting and calling upon the Lord, we also need to enter into a new level. Step up in the area of our prayers and begin to pray prayers of great boldness. Amen. Wonderful boldness, and this is what characterized many of the great characters of the Scripture, was that they prayed wonderful prayers of faith and courage and boldness. And that's what the Lord is calling us to reach out and to believe that God can answer our prayers, just like He did James. He wouldn't have put the phrase in there if it wasn't an important phrase for us to take note of. James said, Elijah was a man just like you. Amen. He was like you. He was like me. Every one of us in this service this morning. He was a man just like you. But he prayed bold prayers with great confidence in God. The only thing that set him apart from you, and the only reason that we're any different, is that he would take hold of the promises of God, and he would ask God for big and mighty things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You notice here that it says that in the text that he was a man subject to like passions as we are. He was just like us. And he prayed earnestly. Now, the phrase there in the original means that he prayed a prayer. He prayed a prayer that he prayed with prayer is really what the phrase means. He prayed with prayer, meaning that he prayed with great emphasis. He prayed with great earnestness and great desire and great confidence in the Lord. Folks, we're living way below our privilege. Amen. Way below our privilege. Way below what God has made available to each one of us in the body of Christ to pray. Moses prayed and stood between God and the children of Israel and begged God to not destroy the children of Israel when they had created that golden calf, and the fierce judgment of God was getting ready to be rained down upon the children of Israel. But Moses stepped in between God and Israel and pleaded with God to save all of Israel. And God heard the prayer of Moses. Amen. How about Joshua, whenever he was fighting against the Amorites, and he had fought from the time the sun had come up, and now the sun was going down and the Amorites were on the run and the battle was almost completed, and he wanted to complete the battle. He wanted to utterly destroy them. And so he prayed, "Lord, make the sun to stand still. Make it to stand still so that I can complete this battle." You talk about a bold prayer. How about Moses standing there before a fierce God that's getting ready to rain down judgment upon them, and he knew they deserved it, but he stepped in there and prayed a prayer, preserve them and save them. And Joshua that said, "Let me finish this victory and cause the sun to stand still." That was a bold prayer. How about the apostles in the book of Acts chapter 4, when they knew that the church was under terrible persecution and James had been killed and now they're all being threatened in the ministry that they're involved in. And they prayed a prayer about, "Lord, grant unto us boldness. Give us courage and boldness so that we won't be hindered by all of these obstacles around us, that we'll preach the gospel with fervency and with power." So they prayed for that boldness, and the Lord granted to them that power. And then, of course, this prayer we're talking about of Elijah today is the prayer that he prayed concerning Israel. His prayer set the whole region into a 3.5-year famine. He prayed that it would not rain. And it did not. And it didn't rain until the end of 3.5 years, when Elijah, this common man that's just like you and me, prayed and said, "Oh God, now let it rain." Amen. And then it rained. You say, "Well, I can't imagine that any common man could pray a prayer like that." Well, I believe that the Lord wants you and I to pray those kind of prayers. Hallelujah. To see some wonderful and mighty things take place for the kingdom of God. Now in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so we understand that our ability to do anything, to pray any prayer, and to have any effectiveness in the kingdom of God does not come from our physical strength or our own natural ability. But we're strong in the Spirit as we are. We're commanded to be strong in the Spirit, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so our spiritual exercises, sometimes, you know, a lot of folks here at the beginning of the year, they're trying to walk and trying to enter into a new exercise program. And if you haven't done it and you start it, the very first day, you're going to be a little bit sore in your physical body. Your muscles are going to be sore. And if you don't walk and you try to walk 2 or 3 miles the first day, you are going to be in bad shape. You're going to be sore. It's going to be hard on you because your physical body has not been exercised, and you have to gradually move into this. And this is what I want to encourage you in as far as your spiritual life and even in your boldness and your faith in God. Every day of your life, begin to build and be strong in the Lord. Begin to build up your spiritual muscles so that you can see great and mighty things accomplished in your life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. I'm just saying you're not going to be like Elijah tomorrow necessarily. But you can exercise your faith, and you can build up your spiritual strength and get to the place that you can be mighty with God and mighty for God and can pray prayers that will not be commonplace prayers. Sometimes our prayers are just words. Lord, help me today. Be with me today. Watch over me today. And not, you know, we just say a lot of the same phrases, and every day is commonplace because our praying is commonplace. I remember the first time that I heard Pastor Carter Conlon preach, and it was in Beaumont, Texas. I'd never heard him preach before, but when he stood up to preach, before he read his text, he said, let's pray. I never heard a man pray like that before he preached. I mean, it was a prayer that was not ordinary. It was a prayer. It was obvious that this was a man calling out to God, crying out to God. This was a man in tune with God as he called out to the Lord before he ministered the word of the Lord that night. And I believe that the Lord wants us to exercise in our spiritual life and in our areas of faith until we can enter into a new area of bold prayer. Amen. Believing God for great and mighty things. Trusting the Lord to answer prayer and to do things. Elijah prayed a prayer. He was a common man, but he prayed a fervent prayer that it would not rain, and it did not. And for the space of 3.5 years, there was no rain, and the whole nation, the whole region was affected by this mighty man of prayer in touch with God. So what's the key to all this? What is the key to our ability to praying a bold prayer? I believe this is the number one key. It's found in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Let's read it. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. The word there literally just means to be outspoken, to be frank, to be bold. This is the confidence that we have. This is our ability to speak out and to be bold and confident in God. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, that's why we are to be a people of the Word of God. That's the reason why we are to spend time learning it and meditating on it and reading the Word of God and understanding what the promises of God's Word are. Are so that whenever we pray a prayer, that we understand what it is to pray in the will of God. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. This is what gives you confidence. This is what gives you boldness. Because you know and you stand on the promises of God. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. This is the confidence that we have in Him. This is how we have boldness to come to God and to ask God for mighty things. This is where we get almost the brazenness of someone like Elijah or a Joshua or a Moses who prayed mighty prayers and mighty things took place. Is because they understood that their prayer was cooperating with the will of God. Amen. Now to pray a prayer and to say, Lord, give me $1 million and put it in my bank account today. The Lord's not going to do that unless it's His will and He knows your heart and He knows you're going to put every dime of it in the work of the kingdom of God. He's probably not going to put it in your account. Now He does give it, and He has given it to people, multiplied millions. God has, He has all the resources available to us. And we can pray about things like this if it's according to His will. Amen. If it's not a selfish prayer, if it's not a prayer that is just going to be what we are interested in and our selfish interest and desires. The thing that gives us boldness and confidence is because we know the Word of God and we know the promises of God, so that whenever we ask, we know that we're in sync with the will of God.
We know that we're in cooperation with the plan of God, and we've aligned our will with the will of God. And when we know the will of God, then we can pray the boldest prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can pray the prayers of tremendous confidence and boldness when you understand that it's the will of God. He's not willing that any should perish. It's the will of God that everyone be saved. And so you can pray with boldness about your lost family and loved ones. You can pray with boldness about the fields all over the world of those that are lost and have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can pray about their salvation and about your involvement in the work of the kingdom of God to reach the lost, because you know that the word of God confirms that it is God's will to save men. Amen. So you can enter into a bold prayer, asking the Lord, Lord, save them. Save them. Save the lost of our community. And calling their names and believing that God, because we are praying bold prayers according to God's purpose and God's will for mankind and for people's lives. So I just believe that what we need to do is we need to step out of the commonplace. That's where we are. That's where most of us live. In the commonplace. Just daily, daily going through our routine, saying our same prayers. But somehow, when we get into a situation that's desperate and it's urgent, then we throw aside all of the little platitudes and the little phrases that we use when we pray that are, you know, doesn't require a whole lot of thought or involvement. Lord, be with me today, and Lord, watch over me today, and Lord, take care of my family today. And none of those prayers are bad. It's just that we can pray them without even thinking about them. But we get in a situation and it's a crisis, and there's an urgency in our spirit, then we can pray new prayers. Then we can pray with fervency and with boldness when we know that the need is great, especially if we understand the will of God in a situation. Then we can pray with an all new boldness. Elijah prayed, even though he was just a common man like you and me. Praise God. We ought to be encouraged to know that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't pick out just a few select few and say, okay, you're going to be great. I'm going to answer your prayers, and I'm not going to really pay much attention to yours. That's not at all the way it is. The promises of God are for every one of us. Amen. And we have the privilege, every one of us, to come before the Lord and to come before the throne of God and to pray a prayer and to give consideration to the fact that we are, whenever we pray, that we are literally entering into this fellowship and this communion with the God, the creator of everything, that is almighty and all powerful. And we have this wonderful privilege to come in before his throne and to pray bold prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I just believe that the Lord wants to stir our hearts, not only to move forward in these other areas we've been talking about, but to step up to a new level, even in our praying. To pray like we've not prayed before. To pray with a new confidence. To pray with a new faith and a boldness that God hears our prayers and that we're praying in the will of God. And so for those of you that are praying for lost family, lost loved ones, maybe a spouse or children or people that you're concerned about that don't know the Lord, pray a bold prayer. Believe God for great things. Believe God can turn the hearts and the minds of people away from their sin, and because it's the will of God for them to be saved, and that God can reach to where they are and can bring them into the kingdom of God. So we pray, understanding the privilege of prayer, and that we can pray a new level of praying with power and with boldness, and believing that God is at work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. How many people do you know of? And I know we've all been guilty of this. I admit my guilt. There have been many, many times when I've walked in here to this early prayer meeting. I'm doing good to be here. I'm not the most alert person at 6 o'clock in the morning. And it takes a while for me to warm up. It takes a while for my brain to kick in and for me to be able to think clearly. But I do believe that the Lord can help us to move into a new level of seeking God in prayer. Let's pray some Elijah prayers. Let's pray some Moses prayers. Some Joshua prayers. All common men. All men, just like you and I. But they prayed prayers that were mighty and bold. And as a result, God did some wonderful and mighty things. Let's stand. Father, oh, we're so thankful that we can stand upon the promises of God today. Lord, I know that you're mindful of your people. And Lord, I know that this year you're wanting to help us to step up to a whole new level in our walk with you. And Lord, I just pray that it will include the way that we pray. That we'll be reminded of the fact that you are the object of our praying. We're not just saying prayers, but Lord, we're entering into this communion and fellowship with you. And you've welcomed us, Lord, into the throne room. Hallelujah. Lord, help us to move up. Take it up a new level, Lord, of commitment and faith in God. And to see you begin to do wonderful and mighty things in our lives. As we believe your word, as we pray with confidence. Because we're praying in the will of God. Hallelujah.